So today is the Sunday of the Holy Forefathers of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to speak to you today about family. It's a time of year when family comes to the forefront. Family was created by God. It was created good in the beginning. The church has lots of important and good stuff to say about family. St. John Chrysostom says the family should be like a little church. But in the absence of church, particularly in certain Christian circles where church is kind of de-emphasized, this notion of family as the church has resulted in family being kind of idealized, possibly even idolized. And if you actually take a moment to look at some of the stories about family in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, which is the period that we're thinking about with the forefathers of Christ, you'll notice that family is mostly a mess. This ideal family that is kind of held up doesn't appear anywhere. Well, maybe a few examples, but mostly you look at family and even the family that was the ancestors, the forefathers of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and you see a mess. Just look at Isaac and his two sons, Jacob and Esau. You might be familiar with that story. Or Jephthah and his daughter. Or I could go on. And so my starting point whenever I want to talk about family, and so my apologies, you'll have heard this from me before probably, is that commandment that Paul cites as the first commandment with a promise attached to it. Honor your father and your mother. Honor doesn't mean ignore all the bad things. Only focus on the good things. Honor doesn't mean just obey, you know, unquestioningly, unstintingly. Honor means to hold in high regard, to look for what is good. And as I've said before, I think there's a reason that this is the first commandment with a promise. Because every single one of us who have had any kind of family, any kind of parental system within which we've grown up, or even if we haven't known our parents, all of us have to come to terms with where we came from. That includes our own fathers and mothers who have also had to come to terms with where they came from and with the context that they grew up in. Because context is so important. That community within which we grow up is so definitive of us and our habits and talents and predilections and desires. So it's important on the one hand that we seek to understand. So don't turn away. Engage with your past. Engage with where you came from. Don't simply condemn, because that's our natural tendency. Well, yeah, I'm this way because my parents. No. I love what J.K. Rowling said at one of the graduation ceremonies that she spoke at. She's like, there's a statute of limitations, a time limit on which, during which you can blame your parents for your problems. And that expires. And I think the implication, even if it was a university graduation speech, is like, it expires now. Now you have to take responsibility for your own mistakes. But as we engage, we're going to find that, yeah, there were problems. There were problems both with the family and with the context of the larger context of the family. It's interesting to me that here on this Sunday of the Holy Fathers, we include not just all the ancestors of Christ after the flesh, but also the holy prophets. Because there is also, generally, a spiritual context within which we've grown up, one which we also didn't control. There's a geographic context within we've grown up, which we also don't control. So I said we control. No, we don't control it. And there's all of these contexts within which we have grown up, which have defined us and who we are and who we are and what we have to work with that are not in our control. And as we engage with that, we have to engage with that both in terms of, yeah, there were problems, and look at it honestly. In the same way that you see the sort of honest portrayal in the scriptures of all of the problems that were there. And at the same time, we have to recognize this was given to me by God for my salvation. I am now engaging with it as someone who is taking responsibility for my own actions, for my own thoughts, for my own words, for what I do with the hand that has been dealt to me. And as we do this, I think that's when the promise comes into effect. The promise is, of course, that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the land, that you may prosper. Because as we come to terms with this, we're going to be better equipped to understand ourselves. We're going to be better able to be at peace with who we are and where we are at and where we need to go. And we're going to be able to deal in a healthy manner with what and who we are by virtue of where we've come from. That's why it's so important for us to honor our father and our mother. The second thing I want to draw our attention to is in the parable that we are given to meditate on today. There's this sacred bond, if you will. It's an invitation, and it's not just an invitation, it's an invitation to a great banquet that has been extended to a whole bunch of people. And it's interesting, their response. I've just bought some land. Haven't seen it yet. Sorry, can't come. Please hold me excused. I just married a wife. I want to hang out with her. Sorry, can't come. Please hold me excused. I've just bought some oxen. I need to try them out. Can't come. Please hold me excused. And a lot of attention has rightly been drawn to the fact that these are pretty lame excuses. It's like, who goes and buys a piece of land without actually seeing it first? Like, oh, you've just been married? Great, bring your wife. Or you haven't even tested these oxen yet? Really? The guy didn't let you test drive the oxen? It's just... They're lame. But what I want us to focus on here, especially because, as I say, this is a time when we have to, traditionally we do, and sometimes it is actually we have to, engage with family. And the problem here that we see is not just that the excuses are lame, but that they're distracted. They're not engaged with who they are. with. And this is a perennial problem with all of us, and possibly nowhere more so than in our relationship with family, because we naturally tend to take family for granted, because they're always there, and they always will be there. And so, you know, we can not think too carefully about what we say, and not really think too carefully about what they're saying, because, you know, they'll be there tomorrow, and they'll be saying probably more or less the same thing. And that's not how we are made to be. We are made to be in relationship with one another. We are made to be in the moment with one another. And yeah, we're distracted by all sorts of stupid things. Yeah, there's a natural tendency for us to be thinking about the other thing, which I'd really rather been talking about, but this person wouldn't, who I'm engaging with now, wouldn't be interested in it. So I'll just give them like half of my attention. The rest of my brain will be somewhere else. As I think, this is a problem. It's a problem, obviously, that's been around for a while, because we see it way back here, 2,000 years ago, in this parable that Jesus is teaching, is telling. And so, my encouragement to you would be there. When the invitation is extended to you, understand this is a sacred commitment. This is a sacred relationship. Even if it happens to be a random encounter, this is still an encounter that has been brought into your life by God Himself. This is an encounter with a person made in the image of God. They are worthy of your full attention. And the final thing that I wanted to point out as we consider family and this parable is that in this parable, there is a warning to us. We are, as I've said many times before, the family of God. This is your new family. You don't get to pick who you are brothers and sisters with in this family, just like any family. And it's like all family, this is the arena within which God is calling you to learn to love. But this blessing that we have been given is one that is itself contingent. It's not an automatic sort of thing. It's dependent upon our response to the invitation. Our Lord invites us to the banquet. And the only reason that we've been invited, at least in the context of this parable, is because the people who were originally invited said, nah, don't want to come. Not important enough. I'm too distracted with other things. And in the context of the parable, the one who's throwing the feast is not unnaturally kind of angry. Says, okay, well, then go out and invite the poor, the lame, the sick. Invite them to come. We've done that. Place still isn't full. Well, then go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. I'm going to make sure that this feast is full. That the people who said no to it won't even be able to get in. So that means, in some respect, and I don't think we can take this too far, but at least, as I say, within the context of the parable, we were meant to even be here. But by God's grace, by the grace of the one who is throwing the feast, we've been invited. And by His grace, we have responded to that invitation. We're here. Now the question is, what are you going to do with that? Because the invitation is an ongoing one. the banquet is here every Sunday. You are invited to this sacred supper. What are you going to do with this invitation? And we need to, as we have begun with this response to the invitation, yep, I'll come, continue in that response. Because, as Paul puts it, you know, if some branches have been broken off that we might have been, might maybe grafted in, then, you know, you got to be careful. You don't want to be broken off either. I said that was the final thing, but I want to focus on one last thing, which is actually related to this. What this parable reveals to us, ultimately, is that the nature of the kingdom of heaven is, as I've said before, built on relationships. It's also built around a feast. God wants what is best for us. He wants us to enjoy the creation that he has entrusted to us. He wants us to be healthy, full, happy. This is what he is extending to us. Now, often we look at the invitation as this inconvenience, as this obligation. But it's an invitation ultimately to life, to joy, to fellowship. Because our Creator wants what is best for us. He is calling us to what is best for us because he loves us, because he wants us to be free, to be healthy, to live in joy and in love. This is the blessing that he calls us to. Let's respond to the invitation and celebrate the sacred feast in joy together. To the glory of God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.